Joshua 1:8. We've been looking at the Christian life. It's amazing how much this topic is all through the Bible, but it is taught on so little. It is a huge topic, and we will just barely skim the surface this morning. When you start looking at, okay, God gave us His Word. We have an every word Bible. Now God tells us there's a couple of things I want you to do with my Word. I want you to read it. I want you to memorize it. We're commanded to memorize Scripture. Hide God's Word in our heart. God says, I want you to study it. We're commanded to study the Bible. We're also commanded to meditate, what we'll look at this morning, and we're commanded to sing the Bible. So read, memorize, study, meditate, and sing. We're supposed to be doing a lot with God's Word. This is one aspect of it that I really hope is a help to you this morning. Look at verse 7, and I just want to draw your attention to a phrase. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. The words observe to do, you're going to see that again in the next verse. Observe to do. Then it says, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. As we look at this topic of meditation, God says He commands us to meditate in His Word. The word meditate means to muse or reflect upon. It means to consider, to study. Study would obviously be an aspect of meditation where you're thinking about it from different aspects. It means to plan by revolving in the mind. So you take a 3D drawing, computer rendering, and then you know how you can rotate it on the screen and look at the house and look at whatever it is that you're designing. God says take the subject that you're thinking about and revolve it in your mind. To muse is a similar word. It means to be absorbed in thought. The word muse means to meditate continuously or to ponder. Interesting. Muse. While I mused, the fire burned is a scripture in your Bible. We also get the word music. That's what makes music so powerful. It is, music is extended speech that forces you to think about what's being sung. For instance, we don't talk like we sing. Like, let me take a song like The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. We don't talk that way, but what does pausing on the word make you do? Think. Music is extended speech that, in a good way, forces you to think about what you're singing. That's why singing is so healthy if it's good music. That's why bad music is so soul damning. Music can help you or it can destroy you. Why? Because of what it does to your mind. That's not this morning's lesson, but it is interesting, the word muse, similar to meditate and similar to one of the base words of music. In our day and age, when you say, okay, I'm supposed to meditate, Christian scriptural meditation, the only meditation our society knows about is the worldly meditation that is warned against. Since the 1960s, the Beatles brought yoga and Yogi Maharishi to the United States, and yoga was not in America until the Beatles. Now yoga's everywhere. Yoga pose and yoga. Because people aren't taught scriptural meditation, the only meditation they know is the yoga type of meditation. Here, empty your mind, you know, hum. That's why they hum. And they'll do the same tone over and over again, and it is a form of self-trance or a hypnosis. That's why any type of yoga or hypnosis, or in the emergent church, they're starting to teach now, in the name of Christianity, it's called contemplative prayer. And it's taking mysticism from Hinduism. And they say, this is what it says in the name of Christianity, take a phrase in your Bible, take a scripture verse, take a phrase of scripture, and then just say it over and over again. And they're calling it, see, now you're praying to God. You're not praying to God. When you do anything more than three times, your mind starts to shut down. Your mind cannot handle a lot, which is why rock music is so dangerous, which is why when you say the same phrase over and over again, your mind can only handle so much of the same thing. So God says, do not do this type of meditating. You say, are you sure? Go to 1 Peter 5:8 and just look at it real close, and then we'll get back into the meditation. The reason I tell you this is what our society knows. This is what our society is used to. God warns us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. You need to know what you're doing, especially in our society, everything that's aimed at. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, which has nothing to do with liquor. If you did a word study in your Bible on sober, the word sober means to be alert. Yes, liquor can affect the alertness of your mind, obviously. But when God says be sober, He's not saying don't drink here. There's other verses for that. He's saying stay mentally alert. Be sober. Stay awake. Pay attention to what's going on. Perceive things. Be sober and then be vigilant. What's the word vigilant mean? It means slow to make a decision. Don't impulsively or emotionally do anything. Think it through. Analyze. Look. Be sober and be slow to make a decision. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, the first place Satan attacks you is your mind. That's why TV is so engrossing. When you watch a movie, you're entering that producer's perception of that subject. I don't care if it's Ron Howard. I don't care if it's, oh, but he was Opie. You know, you see these, you know, the producers advertise, Ridley Scott. Whoever the producer of that movie was, when you watch that movie, that's his perception of that topic. And you will see things the way he wants you to see them. That's why the movies and all of that, God says, be very careful. What Satan's after, if he can get your mind, then he can get your thoughts. And if he can help guide your thoughts, then he can guide your actions. And if he can guide your actions, he can develop your character and your habits. Because thoughts go to words, go to actions, go to habits. Okay? So, do y'all see? If Satan's going to attack you, he's after your mind. He wants your attention. So God says, don't ever empty your mind. Christian meditation, scriptural meditation, Bible meditation has a object of truth that it focuses on. God never asks you to empty your mind. That's why I'm against hypnosis. Hypnosis is you giving control of your mind to somebody else. And God says that's when you open yourself up to demon possession and demon oppression. Oh yeah, but the accident happened and the vehicle drove off and this person was killed, but we couldn't identify the vehicle, so we put them under hypnosis to get the license plate of the vehicle that drove off. Da 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 da. Then they get them under and then they'll say, now what was the license plate of the vehicle? And then it's real, and we've got the criminal that did the hit and run. There were devils there also that saw everything. No, I don't. Well yeah, but you're only using 10% of your mind. And God tells us we're to never empty our mind, give our mind over to the control of somebody else. That's why trancing yourself or putting yourself in the trance with a contemplative prayer, it's dangerous. It is literally entering into the world of devils. And God says that is an absolute no-no. So what we're talking about this morning has nothing to do with what they're doing out there. You know, get in this pose and then, because it increases the blood flow, and then empty your mind until you can, and some of them go this far, empty your mind until you can see someone. Then they say this, start listening to what the person is telling you. And do you know how many people talk about, I wrote this book because in meditation I heard this voice? It's demons, it's devils. But people think, oh, wow, dude, oh, that's a deep book. Oh. No, it's not. It's devil stuff. And it's amazing how Christians can get caught up in that. What we're looking at this morning is meditation, or your ability to focus on God's Word and think it through. And I'll give you a few examples. Go to Psalm 1. So we know what it's not. Look at Psalm 1, first chapter in the biggest book in your Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, or in the Bible, doth he meditate day and night. Okay, that's Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:2, many places that say daytime plus nighttime, you're supposed to be thinking as much as you can about the Bible. Why? Look up the word prosperity sometime. How does God prosper you? If you want God to prosper you, look, it's in there 8 times. It's in your Bible 8 times. And then do what God says so God can prosper you. This is one of them, meditating in the Bible. In a day and age of computers where we can copy and print verses, God says, put the Bible everywhere. You know, I've heard people say, how come you're so absorbed in it? Have you noticed how any diet or program or business wants you absorbed in what they're here, read this diet book and think about it all the time and let it affect obviously everything you eat. You're not supposed to be controlled by anything except the Holy Spirit as a Christian, as a child of God. And yeah, I have no problem observing a diet plan. I have no problem procedures and things like that. I understand. But daytime plus nighttime, we're supposed to be thinking on the Bible. You say, why? So God can prosper me. There's the world's prosperity. Have this, eat this, do this, wear your hair this way, have these clothes, have this house, da da da. That's the world's prosperity. I want God to prosper me as a Christian. This is one of them. To do this, you're in Psalm. Let's go to 119, 148 real quick. Psalm 119. Look at verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, or go before the night watches. Mine eyes, in other words, I'm having a hard time sleeping, that I might meditate in thy word. I'm supposed to meditate in the Bible. You know, the old question goes like this. What do you do when you can't sleep? Oh, I never have that problem. Okay, I'm glad you don't. But every once in a while, you're going to. So what do you do when you can't sleep? It would help if you'd read the Bible. And it's amazing to me, somebody will say, oh, every time I read the Bible, I get tired. Well, then why don't you read it when you can't sleep? Doesn't it seem like it might help? If you can't sleep, God says we're supposed to meditate in it in the nighttime, in His Word. Go to Psalm 46, verse 10. Real wonderful verse. Be still and know that I am God. That means stop moving. Oh, but I got to do this, and I got to get to this, and I got to do this, and I got this prayer. Be still. There has to be some time where you stop the hustle and bustle. How many people do you know have a time frame where they do this? No music, no TV, no radio, no sounds. Just shut it off and focus on the Bible. If I took that verse, be still and know that I am God, now let me meditate on it a minute. Be still and know. So that to the degree I'm still and focused is the degree I can know God. Now let me meditate on it again. Let me rotate it in my mind. What would be the opposite of that? The reason I don't know God is because I'm not still. All I did was I reversed the truth. When you read the Bible and you can think about it, very powerful verse. In our day and age, because of the breakneck speed of our busy lives, this is an area of extreme weakness in most Christians. You say, what area? The area of meditation in God's Word. The ability to just open the Bible, read it, and shut everything off for what? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever your Bible time is. It's an extreme weakness. The wicked never think about God. Psalm 10:4 says, God is not in all his thoughts. Go to Psalm 40. Look at Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy. What a verse. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. God thinks about you. You know what's beautiful about that? God doesn't think about us. God thinks about you. We're not the hive. God says, I know you. I created you. I saved you. I think about... Okay, if you want to see that one more time, go to Psalm 139. Go to Psalm 139. Look at verse number 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Not my thoughts to God. He says here, God, it's just amazing to me that you think about me. And then he says, all of your thoughts. Because verse number 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. I think it's... our God is wonderfully just and holy. But isn't it amazing? God says, I want you to meditate or think about me because I think about you. I like taking this thought. God thinks about you. Do you ever spend time pondering and meditating and thinking about God? Do you ever think about Him? And I don't want to be left to my own feelings and emotions. The only way I know God is through His Word. I don't know Him because, well, I think God, I think Jesus had red hair. Okay, you're a ding-dong. He was a Jew. No, He had black hair. Okay? It doesn't matter what. Well, I think He had, and I think He was this tall. You only know God through the Bible. So read the Bible and think about Him. If you look up the word, now that kind of hit that from a different angle. If you looked up the word meditate, the synonym for the word meditate is ruminate. You can do this later. This really does go somewhere and it's awesome. Ruminant animals like cattle, sheep, goats, camels, antelope, and giraffes, they're called ruminant animals because their stomachs have four compartments. Don't fall into the trap of thinking they have four stomachs. For each stomach, you have to have an esophagus, okay? Plus a windpipe. And there is not room for five items in a giraffe's throat. Do you understand? There's one esophagus, one windpipe. A ruminant animal has four compartments in the stomach that's separated by membranes. The first compartment is called the rumen. When the goat or the sheep or the cow or the camel goes out and grazes, they eat and all of that they're eating goes into the first compartment, the rumen. Then they go stand or sit or lay down under a tree and it comes back up from the rumen into their mouth and then they chew it or masticate it. Where saliva mixes with the juices and all the nourishment from what they ate, then goes in liquid form back down to the stomach, and it goes into the rumen but through it because there's a tube that only takes fluid. In other words, it won't take grass and hay. It takes the nourishment from what they ate into the next part of their stomach. You say, why would you describe that? Because if the synonym for meditate is ruminate, then what God's asking you to do is spiritually digest food and get the nutrition from the Scripture for your soul to grow you. And if you don't meditate or take what's been given to you in Sunday school, that's why I think one of the greatest rewards of a Sunday school teacher is this. I took it home and looked at it. Or this morning during the preaching, you'll take the sermon home and do what? Ruminate or meditate and say, oh, wow, I liked that part. There's too much going on in our society when you hear a sermon. Well, hear a sermon this morning. You came to Sunday school. You go to church. And then you go home. And right when you turn on the TV, there's no meditation. It's too fast-paced. It's like out with, and so watch this, no nourishment. I like this statement. Meditation is the digestion of truth within the heart that moves the soul to a greater love and devotion to Christ. Remember I told you, our society is so fast-paced, we wait for nothing. You know what I mean? We're calling McDonald's at a three-minute wait at their window saying, you got a problem with this restaurant. I mean, do you know how long I had to wait? And if it's 10 minutes, you'll think that they had to raise the cow, butcher it, and all that other stuff. We wait for nothing. We're still for nothing. And that's why this area is extreme weakness. We're not used to it. But the way you get nutrition spiritually is with what you do in your mind with what God gives you. That's why you can go to church, hear great preaching, but what you do with it in your mind can literally determine whether you grow or whether you stay stunted. Well, what's wrong with that Christian? How come they're not growing? They must not go to a good church. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't take time to muse or meditate. Maybe they're never still. They don't see it's important. You understand? They're like, oh, I go to church. What more do you want? Want me to live there? No, we don't want you to live at church. Have you ever meditated on the Bible? Let me show you another way of meditation. I'm going to take a verse and think through it with you. We thought through Psalm 46:10. Go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. As I was studying for the Psalm study that we're doing on Wednesday night, I just thought about, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. It doesn't say, happy are you if you're saved. I know a lot of saved people that are miserable. It doesn't say, happy are you if you have God. It says, happy are you if God is your Lord. If Almighty God is Lord, if He's the one calling the shots in your life, then that's what makes you happy. You see what I'm doing with the verse? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I'm thinking about, the way you meditate is you first of all saying, what's it saying? Then you always ask this question, what's it not saying? Then you ask this question, what's the antithesis or what's the opposite? Okay, here's the opposite. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Here's the opposite of that. Then the reason you're not happy is because God is not your Lord. Right? That would be a true statement too. That teaches me. That teaches me to do what? The more I let God be my Lord and control my life, the happier I'll be. The less I do that, whenever I call the shots and I'm selfish and I'm doing what I want to do, that's the less happier I'll be. Do y'all see how I took one verse and I revolved it in the mind? You take and you look at it from every angle. It's very hard to do that with a whole chapter. You normally do that with a verse. It's very easy to do it in Proverbs. I'd like to take it at some time. Take it. We don't have time this morning. I'd like to take you to Proverbs and show you how to... Proverbs... What's amazing about Proverbs is each verse almost stands by itself. Almost. There's a couple that go together. But you can take Proverbs, which are what? Dark sayings of old, things that God wants you to think into. And God says, I just taught you something, now think about it. Muse on it. Meditate. Do you realize, some of you are going to be Sunday school teachers someday, some of you are going to, you're going to be preachers someday. What adds depth to a lesson is meditation. It's the difference between reading a verse and moving on. Your ability to think into, yield yourself to the Lord. Dear God, this is your book. I didn't write it. Please help my mind. Help me as I think. But meditation is what adds depth. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate what? That thou mayest observe to do. Remember that phrase? Observe to do. What does this mean? If you observe something, you see it, right? If you see it to do it, then what is another way of scriptural meditation? Another form of scriptural meditation is this. You picturing yourself doing what God told you to do. If you have a hard time soul winning, have you ever pictured or meditated in your mind of taking a tract and going up to somebody that you've never met before, and picture it, observe to do, picture in your mind, because God told you to. You see, I'm not psyching myself up. I'm meditating on the scriptural truth that I'm supposed to be a soul winner. I'm supposed to be telling people about the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's my... I'm supposed to. So if I struggle with it, or even if I don't, I picture in my mind going up and offering somebody, here, let me give you something to read whenever you get a chance. Shows you how to go to heaven there. Just like you to read it. And then picture it again in your mind. What are you doing? I'm not psyching myself out. God told me to meditate, to observe, to do. If you struggle praying on a regular basis, have you ever pictured yourself in your mind obeying God, getting up in the morning, getting cleaned up, and before you leave your house, spending time with the Lord? And you picture yourself in your mind going to that place, opening up your Bible, reading it, spending time with God, then laying it down and getting on your knees and praying. Picture, I'm observing to do. That was in that phrase twice, Joshua 1, 7 and 8. It is not the only way of meditation, but it is something I believe God put it in there for a reason. Have you ever pictured yourself doing what you struggle with as a Christian? You say, well, I lose my temper. Okay. Have you ever pictured yourself then, someone provoking you, you know, Hillary voter, you love Obama, don't you? Okay, you know, whatever it takes to tick you off, all right? That was a joke, I wish you'd have heard that. Really, it wasn't, but it was. Yeah. And then you not losing your cool, you responding correctly. I like what one person said. If you would picture disruptions happening, you know, I teach the children's teachers. You ought to picture disruptions happening before they ever happen. When you're teaching, when we taught gangs in Chicago, somebody said, what are you going to do if somebody stands up and starts cussing in your class? How are you going to handle that? That doesn't please the Lord. No, you got to have a way of how are you going to... The best way to deal with a disruption is before it ever happens. How do you do that? You observe to do. How are you going to handle that? If a fight breaks out in your Sunday school class, you say, that would never happen. I hope not, but sometimes it does. Then how are you going to handle that? Meditation. Observing to do. There's a lot in this. So, do you picture yourself obeying God's word? I like this. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God's very interested in what you dwell on. I could have this morning gone into what are the rewards of meditation. John chapter 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide, the mind is the dwelling or the abiding place. So if you think in the Lord, on the Lord, and His words abide or dwell in you, then you're more apt to get your prayers answered. God says, because of how you think, I can trust you. You make yourself think about me. There's a lot of benefits to meditation. Understanding it, you need to know what it's not, you need to know what it is. But this is a Bible study that I think every Christian needs to understand.